Presidential decree, all those seated in this auditorium are now enlisted in the 75th Ranger Battalion, 3rd Ranger Division. You are all to report immediately after this meeting to Fort Benning, Georgia, for further instruction. You must all pass the physical endurance testing, or you will be sent back for remedial instruction. This video will show you what you can expect.
Soldiers who come to Ranger School expect for it to be tough. Yet as they reach the end of day two, only half of them remain for the Malvesti obstacle course.
Ranger!
Down!
Ranger!
Down!
Ranger!
Down!
Malvesti is pretty much 10 obstacles in this whole entire course. And this event is very physically demanding, mostly on the upper body.
Before students even get to their first obstacle, they must first complete a 2.1-mile buddy run, where the term buddy means just that. Paired up, these soldiers can't be more than an arm's length away from their partner.
Let's go, Rangers, hurry up!
But when they head to Malvesti, they'll face everything from pull-ups to rope climbs and horizontal ladders.
Get up there, hurry up! Ranger, what is wrong with you?
This course is a real gut check for soldiers, and for most, it started long before Ranger School. As students prepared for conditions as miserable as war itself.
Definitely work mostly on upper body. Definitely a lot of pull-ups, your shoulders, your back muscles, your arms, and your core.
Hey, Ranger, you over here. Go back up there and touch that tape.
Most of the obstacles in this course are mostly pulling yourself up and over the obstacle, up or hanging on to the obstacle.
At this point, students have had very little food and very little sleep. Their minds can easily enter a fog, and it's the ranger instructor's job to cut through that haze.
Pick your ranger buddy up! Put him on your shoulder!
This is where their voice comes in handy.
Yes, Sergeant!
RAP is 4 days long, and the thing that makes RAP so difficult for most soldiers is the events are basically back-to-back in a four-day window. The average soldier that comes to this course is very, very fit to begin with. And most of the soldiers that come here could do any one of these events by itself and probably pass. But when all four events are done back to back in a 4 day window, the rates of success go down.
All right, squad! Squad, Rangers! Get up!
Your mind is telling your body to quit. So you're thinking that, oh, my body can't do it no more. But I think it's more on your mind. It's more if you just tell your mind you got this, you know, you're just gonna push on through.
Ranger!
Students in this course have to prove they have the mental fortitude and the physical strength and agility to be a ranger.
Every person in the Army wants to come to their school, but not all of them succeed.
While students can't be dropped because of this event, their attitude and perseverance is noted.
Ranger!
As ranger instructors are always evaluating students and can still give a major or minor minus.
You're going to place your hands on your chest and utilize the heels of your feet to pull yourself down.
It's all about heart.
Ranger!
Melissa Bell, Fort Benning TV.
Okay, when all of you enter Ranger School, these are the things that you can anticipate. The Ranger course is mentally and physically challenging, develops functional skills directly related to a mission, enemy in close combat, direct fire, and you'll be doing this for 62 days. Ranger students trains to exhaustion, pushing the limits of their minds, their bodies. The course incorporates three phases. The first phase you'll encounter is the Derby phase, then the Mountain phase, and the Swamp phase. In the Derby phase, Ranger School is designed to assess a soldier's physical stamina and mental toughness, as well as establish the tactical fundamentals that are needed to go further. Ranger School will be a 21-day, this one will be a 21-day phase. Although each soldier that volunteers for Ranger training arrives in top physical condition, usually less than 50% of Ranger students will complete the first phase. The Ranger assessment begins with a 49 push-ups, 59 sit-ups, a 5-mile run in 40 minutes, and 6 chin-ups. Following this, they will move on to combat water survival assessment. Day 2, night and day navigation. Day 2, the Malvesti confidence course, the one you just saw. Day 3, land navigation. and a 12-mile foot march, with each carrying a load of 47 pounds. So are you ready for that? Because it's not over then. Then we go to the mountain phase. The mountain phase, the rugged terrain, severe weather, hunger, mental and physical fatigue, and emotional stress that students encounter afford them the opportunity to gauge their capabilities and limitations, as well as those of the ranger buddies. Students conduct one day of climbing and rappelling over exposed high-angle terrain, which concludes with a 200-foot night rappel utilizing night vision goggles. The second day simulates casualties through severe restrictive terrain using fixed ropes and hauling systems. Students then perform 10 days of combat patrols directed against a determined and well-equipped hybrid threat. Students also conduct river crossings and scale steeply sloped mountains. The stamina and commitment of the ranger student is stressed to the maximum because of these situations. At any time, the student may be selected to lead tired and hungry students to accomplish yet another patrol. You cannot accumulate more than 3 negative spots, or you will be eliminated from the program. The swamp phase is the last one, or the Florida phase. Coastal swamp environment tests students' abilities to cooperate effectively under conditions of extreme mental and physical stress. Students conduct 10 days of patrolling during a fast-paced, highly stressful challenge field exercise in which students are evaluated on their ability to apply small unit tactics. If a student successfully leads a patrol in Florida, is evaluated positively by their peers, and does not accumulate too many negative spot reports, that student moves on to Fort Moore to prepare for graduation. So you guys all ready for this? I hope you are. Now you're saying, okay, we just talked a lot about the military. We talked about a lot of training, a lot of the things that go into that. So how does that kind of correlate to a chapel message? And I wanted you all, if you'll turn your Bibles to Daniel 1 with me. I'm going to talk a little bit about younger Daniel. Okay, beginning in verse 3. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such has had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach and learn the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, and at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he may not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse looking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then Daniel said to Melser, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon, and the countenance of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Then Melzer took away the portion of their meat and the wine which they should drink and gave them pulse. And as for the 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill in learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them into Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding, the king inquired of them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in the realm. So just to give a little historical perspective on Daniel, Daniel lived in a time of chaos and confusion. His country was surrounded by the enemy and by the Egyptians and then the Babylonians. After Josiah's death, the world was in turmoil and confusion. Jehoiakim, second son of Josiah, became the king of Judah, and he worshipped the god of the Babylonians and the Canaanites after the Egyptians surrendered to the Babylonians. So Daniel, according to Josephus, and his friends were made eunuchs in Babylon at the tender age of 14 and 15. They were all descendants of the nobility of Zedekiah, Josiah's youngest son, and Judah's last king. They were all related in an extended way and were all taken to Babylon for training. So this was 3 years of intensive training. Now, as an Army Ranger, you have 62 days, but these guys had 3 years. So I can tell you, I have an experience at 14, 15 years old. My parents determined that instead of sending me to public school, which the public schools in our area, I lived in Maine, were not very good, and so they determined to send me to private boarding school. Now, this private boarding school is about 3 hours away from my home, and so my parents would drop me off with my suitcase and whatever I had, and that was going to be my home for the next many months as I went to school there. Well, I was never really a bad kid in school. I did what I was supposed to do, but I can tell you, I was in a classroom one time, and the girl next to me, she came to this class, and she had a squirt gun. And it was a really cool squirt gun, because it was, you know, squirt guns, the old type, you know, you just have the finger trigger and you just pull it and go. This one had like knuckle things that go over your knuckles and just would really shoot far. And there's a girl that sat in front of me, and her name was Lisa Carpenter. I hope she's not watching this. Lisa Carpenter. And she would turn around and talk to me every now and then. And, you know, at age 14, 15, it was pretty annoying. So I thought, I'm going to fix her. So I got the squirt gun from the girl next to me, and Lisa usually turned around every now and then. I thought, when she turns around, I'm going to get her good. And she didn't turn around. So I thought, well, I'm going to get her anyway because she usually turns around. So wouldn't you know it, when I hit the trigger on that water pistol, she put her head down like this, and I was directly in line with the teacher. So three quick pumps on that squirt gun, I nailed the teacher three times in the face. So the teacher is trying to get the water out of her face, and I am like horrified. I mean, I've never done anything like this in my life before. And she said, okay, who just did that? And I thought, it's going to be a cold day in the Bahamas before I raise my hand. So anyway, I thought, but I did it. I've got it, you know. So she said, okay, class, you're dismissed, but whoever did this, I want you to come up and I want you to talk to me. So I came up and I said, Mrs. Swan, I said, I am so sorry. I said, I really wasn't intending to hit you at all. It was the girl in front of me. And she said, well, you know, that's very disappointing, Dave. And she said, whose squirt gun was it? And I said, it was Dottie Billings. And Dottie was walking by with a horrified look on her face. And she said, Dottie, come over here. So Dottie came over and she said, you know what, you have got 2 weeks of detention. I want you to know that. And she let me go. I never got detention. But anyway, that was one of those things. I'm just saying, 14, 15 years old, you know, here's a guy, here is Daniel, that is making critical decisions. And I'm thinking, when I was 14, 15 years old, I was not making very critical decisions. So I just marvel at how Daniel was used of the Lord in this way to be such a godly example and held to who he was, held to his convictions before the Lord. Okay, we know that Daniel's faith was tested. Babylon was a highly religious society with continual animal sacrifices and rituals. The king was the head and considered a god and religious leader. To defy it, the order of the king would mean certain death. Ashpenaz put himself at risk by letting Daniel and his friends eat a different menu. The 3-year training program final test would be given by the king himself. If the students of their educators didn't perform up to par, then the life of those teaching them would be in jeopardy. The educators knew Nebuchadnezzar's harshness. In 536, King Zedekiah, youngest son of Josiah, tried to escape Babylon's siege at night. Zedekiah was blinded and his sons were killed. Nebuchadnezzar was also known for burning people alive. So this was a very scary thing. Daniel faced the test with courage. His test was emotional. Can you imagine, just like I was dropped into this boarding school, Daniel and his three friends were brought to Babylon. They had no point of reference in a foreign land, in a different belief system, everything. Can you imagine being in the situation he was in? Forced to submit to violent pagan people, his sole source of help and strength was his God, who helped him to navigate life. His test was also mental. Daniel and his friends were taught literature, science, philosophy, language of the Chaldeans, and the priestly language of the Akkadim. So they were also well-schooled in a lot of those areas, and I'm sure it was very rigorous and very challenging. His test was also physical. The men had to be in top physical condition to keep their minds fresh and open for each new day's assignment. We see that from the vegetables and the natural healthy foods they ate, they looked healthier than all the rest. Okay. His test was spiritual. The easiest thing that Daniel could have done was to give up and go along with the Babylonian program. But Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the pleasures of Babylon, to give God every opportunity to reward his faithfulness. And at any point, Daniel could have compromised his faith. God is a faithful rewarder of those that diligently seek him. As we know that Daniel was under intense pressure to conform. All the men had their names changed. Daniel's name in Hebrew meant God is judge. Belshazzar meant may Bel protect his life. Bel was the chief god of the Babylonians. Hananiah meant Jehovah is gracious. Shadrach meant command of Aku. Mishael, who is that? Who is that he is God? Meshach, who is what Aku is, another god? Azariah, Jehovah has helped. And Abednego, servant of Nebo. Daniel's relationship to the Lord was challenged. He was given the food that was not clean. We know that. And his friend, it was offered to pagan idols before it actually came to him. To directly turn down the food offered would be a direct act of rebellion. He was ordered to eat the king's food. Daniel's purpose in his heart to please God regardless of the circumstances. Daniel didn't wait for God to rescue him, but stepped forward with his faith. He gave God the opportunity to work by asking for an exception. His testimony before God and man was evident. Daniel had found favor with the chiefs of the eunuch because of his relationship with a steward had finally consented to help him. Daniel was a man of integrity. So at 14, 15 years old, Daniel had already purposed in his heart that he would serve the Lord and he would be a man of integrity. We see in Daniel that three teenagers willing to give up the best Babylon had to offer for their hope and trust in the one true God. Psalms 119:30, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put shame to the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of this world to put shame to the things which are mighty. So, I have a question for all of you. Where are you at in this whole thing? As far as, have you developed in your heart a passion and love for the Lord that's not going to sway you when the times of pressure come into your life? I can tell you I had another opportunity to go on a missions trip to Peru. And there was a number of us that went. And so we went down this I think I've told some of you about my experience in getting caught in a riptide current. This was the same experience in that I was there in Peru, survived the riptide current, and we were all getting ready to leave. And the missionary told us, he said, by the way, the plane's all set, we're good to go. And then, as only in Peru happens, they came back and said, there's no plane. There's no plane. Well, it was a 12-hour ride from where we were at in Trujillo, Peru, all the way up to Lima, Peru. And it was on the Pan American Highway. Now, back in that day, there was a group, a terrorist group called the Shining Path. And the Shining Path would stop vehicles, and they would take everybody out of the car, and sometimes they would kill them, sometimes they would take all their belongings. And so we were instructed as Americans to not be on the Pan-American Highway. But we had no choice. If we're going to get home, we had to go on the Pan-American Highway. So I remember being told, maybe slump down in your seat, don't let them see your face, because they can obviously tell you're an American or you're not from there, that area. So, when we stopped at a rest stop, then we had to make sure that we were watching very carefully, because they would have Shining Path had people all over the place, and they would notice who you were. But anyway, we finally made it. But so soon after we came back, I got back from Peru. I heard of this story. There was a little church up in the hills of Peru, and the Shining Path, they came into the service, and they told everybody they were going to kill them. It was on a Sunday morning service. All the group was lined up in the back of the service. He asked everybody, "Are you ready to die? Are you ready to die if you don't renounce Christ?" And he went to each person. He went to the lady. He went to the man. He went to the pastor. He went to the pastor's wife. There was only like 7 or 8 people there. And, you know, he went to one and they would say, "Yes, I'm willing to renounce. I will not be a Christian anymore." And he said, "Okay, you need to walk through that door over there." And he would go along, and as he went through all the different people, he'd had several people that would walk through the door, and there's only about 5 or 6 people that were left standing waiting for their execution. And as they stood waiting for that fatal gunshot or whatever was going to happen, they heard gunshots outside the door. And they asked the terrorist leader, what's going on here? And the terrorist leader said, "If you're not willing to die for your faith, then we're not willing to let you keep your life." So all those people that renounced their faith in the Lord went out that door. They were all executed. And all those people that said that they were going to be steadfast in their faith stayed true to the Lord, and they were not killed. Very interesting illustration. But my question to you, just as Daniel stood the pressures of the culture and the peer pressures that he was faced with, what are you going to do? You have spring break coming up. You're going to have a lot of friends you haven't been around. You're going to have a lot of opportunity to do things that you haven't done in the past, and you're going to be encouraged by friends maybe to do things that you shouldn't do. So where are you going to stand? Are you going to stand, or are you going to fold? I think I would like to pray that each one of you would make that determination in his heart today as you go forward, just like Daniel, that he confirmed in his heart that he would do what the Lord wanted him to do, and that you would as well as you look forward to the future. You know, as a father and grandfather now of 9, I really fear for my grandchildren and even my kids sometimes of what you guys are going to face. So if you are not have that conviction in your heart right now to stand, you're going to fold. And if you fold, then, you know, I don't know what's going to happen at that point. But you need to stand firm and stand ready for those onslaughts of times that are going to happen. I mean, with all the things that are taking place in our country now that have never taken place before, it gives you pause. But at the same time, we know we have a great God. So I would encourage you in that respect. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then Mr. Rowe will come up. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again for your word. I thank you for the blessings that you've given us. I thank you for your servant Daniel, that has been such a great example of how he stood in the case, in the situation of adversity, and he gave you the glory and the credit for his life. I pray that as we go from this place, we would do the same. We would give you the credit for our lives, and we would conform our lives to your image. And again, I thank you for all you've done. In Christ's name, amen.